when people feel like they're not being heard, the natural inclination is to actually be louder, or to paraphrase, or to try and steer the conversation in a way to convince the other person that you're right and they're wrong, or you're trying to speak louder to them as if they can't hear you, as if they don't comprehend. And then it sounds like you are being condescending.
Welcome to the Marriage and Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Perda. As a marriage coach who's married with three kids, I know how easy it is for marriage to take a back seat. But unlike your parents' marriage, your marriage can feel good while raising kids and doesn't have to feel hard. It can look like having each other's backs, even flirting and looking forward to spending time with each other. And I'm here to help you. So join me here each week as we dive into what it takes for your marriage to become something you enjoy again, from how to handle conflict better and bringing that spark back into your relationship. If you're ready for your marriage to feel good again, this podcast is for you. Let's dive in.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage and Motherhood Podcast. If you are watching the video, because I do upload this to YouTube, then you might notice my background is completely different. Instead of my normal white background, I have a very dark background. And if you really pay attention, you'll notice that I'm in a car. So I am in between homes right now. We have completely moved out of what we thought was our forever home in the Bay Area. And we are currently temporarily living with my parents in the next city over before we make our big move, our next big adventure to the East Coast, specifically Georgia. So I'm not going to let this whole transitionary phase mean that I'm not continuing to pour into you through this show. And so here we are recording a podcast episode for the very first time ever in the car. I hope the sound is okay. I'm not using my normal setup with the mic and my video camera. So I'm just doing like bare minimum here with a laptop camera and my earbuds. So I really hope this turns out okay. But today, I wanted to talk to you about something that, honestly, when I learned this, was like such a big game changer. And I noticed this so much between couples who are still working on becoming more effective communicators, but don't know to do this one thing that could honestly change all your arguments into effective communication, okay? Because when we get into these like spats with our partner or with anyone, right? Because all these things that I'm teaching you about how to be an effective communicator really is useful for all types of relationships, whether it's romantic, platonic, familial, even from a work standpoint, it's all applicable, okay? But the one thing that I noticed that keeps happening, which I will share later, is that it's hindering the ability to really pivot in the conversation. So instead of, you know, the conversation climbing up and up and up and blowing up in your face, what if there was a way for you to notice that it is escalating, but have the know-how and the skill to be able to say, wait a minute, this is not going in the right direction. Let's pivot here and actually see it turn out more successfully from it becoming a huge mess into something that's productive, into something that leaves you feeling more connected, more satisfied and content with the outcome. Okay. So we're talking about arguing with your husband because, hello, the show is about marriage and motherhood. But I know for me, I have been in so many arguments with my spouse, with previous partners in the past, where it felt like, you know, we're good until we're not. And then when we're not, we're really not. It just seems like we go from partners one minute to being pitted up against each other. We are competing against each other. We're just on completely different pages. And it seems like we're everything but a team because we're not working together. We both have our own opposing views on a situation. And we just could not be any more different in that scenario. When this happens, this is a clear sign that effective communication just isn't happening. You may be sharing what you think, what you feel, what you want. But if this one key element that I'm going to share with you is missing, and it isn't something that you're working towards actively, then the conversation is not ever going to transition into an effective conversation full of, it's never going to transition into a conversation that has effective communication, okay? It's just like that one quotation. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but because I love learning all things about communication, I've seen it a lot of times and it just rings so true. The quotation is, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Honestly, for those of us who didn't grow up with good models for communication, or I should say for effective communication, healthy communication, we assume that the way we speak is the way we speak and we are therefore communicating. But that is simply not true. And you've been proven and shown this time and time again. Every time you're in a relationship, a romantic one, one that has high stakes in it, one that you care a lot about, because you'll notice that the way you communicate outside of your family unit, the friend that you grew up with, is completely different than how maybe you're communicating with your partner, especially if they're from a different culture or if they're from a different city, a different state, a different whatever, right? Because we all grow up learning to communicate in such different ways, from what specific words mean to the tone that we use, how much of our hands that we use, or how expressive our faces are, and so on and so forth. And so the biggest illusion is assuming that it's actually taken place when really maybe it hasn't. And it is our downfall to assume that communication has taken place just by us speaking, just by our attempt to communicate, because our attempt does not automatically default to a successful, effective conversation. For communication to take place, all you have to do is share information. Anybody can do that, right? I could say, the sun is out, and that's communication. But for effective communication to take place, it's actually the exchange of information, like ideas, opinions, feelings, and exchanging that in a way that it's received and clearly understood. For effective communication to happen, both parties have to leave feeling heard, feeling satisfied, feeling content with the outcome. Okay, so as you can see, there's a lot more nuances and requirements or elements that are a part of the process and how we each feel, us as in the people who are a part of the conversation, compared to just communication, right? The sky is blue. Cool, I communicate it. But if I were to say something that was more controversial, where I, from my standpoint as a speaker, thinks that there's nothing trivial about it, there's nothing triggering about it to me, and then I say it to you, and you're all kinds of triggered, and you get defensive, effective communication has not taken place, even though I think so. Even though I think that I have communicated to the best of my ability, that does not necessarily mean that effective communication has taken place. It's a two-person, maybe multiple people process, and everybody has to feel heard, and what you have shared must be clearly understood, okay? Which means that talking at people, which, hello, I'm so guilty of in the past, and sometimes still am when I'm really cranky, right, or really triggered, that isn't effective communication, because that's just words, right? And the person receiving those words is likely not enjoying the words that are being shared and how it's being expressed, okay? When you're shut down or defensive, or they're shut down or defensive, effective communication doesn't happen there either. So when you only have control over yourself, what can you do to help effective communication have a higher chance of happening, right? You're like, well, I can't help how people are going to respond. I can't help if my husband's going to be triggered, or I can't help if I'm going to get triggered by what he says. You can still do this one thing to help your chances be so much higher and actually change the landscape of future conversations with your spouse and whoever else that you are trying to use these skills with, okay? So in order for communication to be effective, you've got to do what might feel unnatural to you, depending on what you learned or didn't learn growing up. Because for me, at least, and a lot of my clients, when people feel like they're not being heard, the natural inclination is to actually be louder, or to paraphrase, or to try and steer the conversation in a way to convince the other person to think that you're right, to go on your side. But what we actually need to do is the complete opposite. Instead of pushing, trying to be of this like forceful nature of I'm right, you're wrong, even though you may not be saying those phrases, your actions are doing that, right? It's giving off that message that you're right and they're wrong if you're trying to convince them, or you're trying to speak louder to them as if they can't hear you, as if they don't comprehend. And then it sounds like you are being condescending, right? The one thing that you need to do is to actually create common ground. We don't often think to do this, right? We're like, well, we obviously disagree, so where do we go from here? They must not understand, because if they understood what I said more clearly, then obviously the only solution is the one that I'm sharing. Because in your mind, you're only thinking of what you have thought of. Your perspective is narrow in terms of your worldviews, your past experiences, your comfort zone. But same goes for your partner, right? And so when you have two people with narrow views, unwilling to expand their views to understand more, then all you're going to be doing is fighting each other, right? You're both going to have your walls up. You're both going to be thinking, oh, I just need to give more information. I just need to talk more. I just need to say this differently for this conversation to make progress. And so when I said it might feel unnatural to you, what I'm talking about when it comes to creating common ground is actually to connect. What does that look like? It looks like not focusing on your own interests and what you need, but being willing to actually pause and listen. Okay, that's the unnatural part, because when we feel like we're not heard, then we feel like we need to make them hear us, encourage them to hear us. But instead, I'm asking you to do the opposite. I'm asking you to actually set aside your desires for the greater good of the relationship and listen. Practice curiosity, learning about their interests, how they feel, what they want, and trying to find where common ground exists. When you have a mutual agreement somewhere, there's going to be something that you agree with, right? Maybe it might take a little bit longer in certain situations, but there's going to be something that you agree on. Use that and grow from there. Because when you think about, you know, someone that you have a lot in common with, it's easy to chop it up. It's easy to get things done. But when you disagree with someone, it's almost like your mind automatically categorizes them somewhere where it's like, nope, don't want to have anything to do with them. It's just exponentially more difficult to resolve things and work with them. And so we have to find ways to create common ground to signal to our brain, hey, we can come up with creative solutions. We just have to find the thing that ties us together, which is why connection is so, so important when it comes to having effective communication, okay? When you are pouring into your relationship and you're steadily nurturing the connection between you two, you're not letting parenting get in the way. You're not letting life get in the way. It's truly a priority in your marriage. It shows. in your communication, because even when you disagree, you are still doing it with love and respect and compassion, and you genuinely show concern. You want to hear them. You want to help the conversation be successful. But when there's a lack of connection, then that's where it's easy to demonize your partner. It's easy to just stay in your side and he stays on his side, and it's really hard for you to come meet each other in the middle, right? But when it comes to wanting to turn a conversation that has become an argument into something that pivots to effective communication, that you've got to meet people where they're at instead of waiting for them to come onto your side and convincing them that things are only going to be successful if they come to your side, okay? There's a level of adaptation that's needed in order for connection to occur. So make an effort to see things from their point of view. This doesn't mean that you have to agree with them at all. All you're doing is saying, hey, I am choosing to have the right relationship over prioritizing my need to be right in this moment. You can still have your opinions. You can still have your feelings, your experiences, your desires. But when you are hell-bent on saying, no, I have to get what I want, and until I get what I want, I don't care what you have to say, that just breeds grounds for more arguments, for more hostility, for less connection, okay? So before trying to see if they understand you, can you first figure out if you can understand them, okay? Like I said, you can only control yourself. So what if you put that energy, instead of fighting them, you put that energy into showing them that you want to understand where they're coming from. You want to understand why this is so important to them, or why they think that this is the best way to do things. And then make sense of what your thoughts are, because you clearly understand your thoughts. So what if you put in that energy to form that connection, to build that bridge and find where that common ground exists so that you can bring that to the surface? And when they feel heard, yourself included, right? When people feel heard, they're less likely to get defensive because they feel like you care about them, because they feel like you understand their perspective. Connection happens when you know your reason for communicating. So understand your reason, right? If it's, oh, I just want to prove them wrong, then, you know, maybe it's time to pause and check yourself. But when you understand your reason, which most times it's, hey, I just want to know that you care about me. Hey, I just want to know that we're on the same page, that we're aligned, that we're working towards the same thing, that we're going to be good, or we're partners, whatever. Figure out what that common ground is and use that reason for wanting to resolve the issue, and don't get stuck and fixated on this conversation has to go a certain way for it to be successful. That's what happens when we get stuck, and that's what digs us into this massive, massive hole that's really difficult to get out of. And I want to teach you to be able to pivot at any moment. Right? Just because you're locked in so angry seeing red doesn't mean that you cannot simmer down on your own accord, right? Not having someone tell you to calm down, but on your own decide, oh, I think we're missing something here. I think that we have gotten lost on our way in this conversation, and we are now speaking from ego rather than actually trying to come back to each other, right? Because no one wants to go into an argument and be like, yeah, oh, we're bored. Let's have an argument so we can feel super disconnected. Nobody wants that, right? Or not consciously, at least. If you do subconsciously want that, then go get some help. But nobody actually wants to experience these arguments where your relationship feels like it's being challenged, right? Arguments really are just springboards to the growth in your relationship, but only if you choose to see it that way and treat it that way. And by using this method of finding common ground, teaching yourself to pivot and maybe loosen your grip on controlling the conversation and prioritizing the relationship over being right, over proving your partner wrong. That's what's going to allow those messy conversations that turn into crazy arguments into something that felt like, oh, it was starting to escalate, but actually we were able to de-escalate it and come out of it feeling closer together, feeling more like a team, and actually having a resolution that we came up with together and both agree on and feel good about. And none of us have to feel like we have to spend a ton of time recovering with the tail between our legs or testing the waters to see if the other person is ready to talk or ready to go back to normal, but rather you go out of it like, okay, cool, we're good now, right? Like, this is what's going to happen next. And, you know, apologize if you need to for anything that you might have done during the conversation or argument. Maybe you brought up something. Maybe the way you communicated was a little harsh. You know, whatever. Do the repair work. And then move forward feeling stronger as a couple, okay? That's how communication, effective communication, should be. And if you're not there, then that's your goal, okay? So if you are hearing this and you're like, okay, easier said than done, and you're having a hard time de-escalating those arguments so that you guys are coming out stronger together as a couple, then reach out to me. I would love to help you with this, okay? I love to help my clients with this to feel like they can tackle any conversation, any issue that comes up in their relationship because their communication and their connection is so rock solid, and I would love to help you do the same, okay? Anyway, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. That's all I have for you today. Let me know if you try this out and how it works out. And send me a message on Instagram, or if you're inside my Facebook group, let me know how it goes. If you have any questions at all, I'm here to support you. I'm here rooting for you. You can do this even if you were not shown or taught how before. I believe in you. You can totally do this. And I'll catch you back here on the next episode of the Marriage and Motherhood Podcast. See you later.
That's it for this episode. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. I would so appreciate that. And if you love what I share here, then you're going to love and want to join my free private Facebook community that's also called Marriage and Motherhood. I hope to see and connect with you in there. Otherwise, I'll catch you back here for the next episode. Bye.